down now. Everyone's all gathered and ready for a story, I see. And my beloved husband is running a little behind. I've brought this along with me to top off anybody's cider. Well, there you are. There you are, my dear. And for you as well. I'm sure he'll be along any minute now, my friends. I know that he usually is the first one here, but he's had some other business to attend to this evening. Not to worry. Now let me think. Did he happen to mention what story he was going to tell next? Well, he didn't, did he? Well, then, let's see, my dears. What would you like to know about? Well, Hodrin Prom. That is a lovely tale to tell. I always like that story. Well, all right. Since Coriander didn't start that one yet, I don't suppose he'd mind if I told a little bit of it for him. Some years ago, my friends, when the Swiftwill Courier Service was still quite young, and the Audrin ships were still as new as could be, Coriander and I were both juggling so many different things at once. Between the organization of mail, the delegation of deliveries, the establishment of the official seals, and the distribution of the Audrin routes, we had our hands as full as an apple orchard. It was a joy to work together, to see things come to fruition, and to lean on one another for support as we made new things where previously there had been nothing. But by the lumens, we were tired. Everything was growing and changing so quickly, and by the time we'd finished each day, we were both too tired to talk, or walk, or do anything other than eat our suppers and fall asleep. One day, I was supervising some cargo being loaded at the docks. One of the Audrin ships had just landed, you see, and another Audrin ship was scheduled to depart. Nowadays, the routes happen simultaneously, of course, but back then, well, they didn't. They happened when they happened. I was keeping a log of important events and precious cargoes near the dock when I saw one of our couriers, a young woman by the name of Rollin, standing alone on the dock with the wind in her hair, some mail in her hands, and a rosy flush across her cheeks that put autumn's leaves to shame. I was about to walk over and ask if she was feeling all right, when suddenly a few more couriers from a different Audrin came strolling down the dock, their arms full of mail and supplies. And Rollin's eyes, lit up like the moon on a clear night, reflected off the snow of the mountain peaks. And I realized that Rollin wasn't holding just any old mail in her hands. She was holding a letter that was likely a little more precious and more personal. These new couriers walked past our Rollin, standing there like a blazing sunset of beauty, and continued down the dock. For a moment she looked crushed, and then a flare of determination filled her eyes, and she marched after those couriers and their crates of food and supplies. I was far enough away, and the wind was going the other direction, so I couldn't properly hear what was said. But as I watched, the group of couriers stopped and turned to look, and then watched as some of them smiled knowingly and peeled away from one of their fellows, a tall courier called Jates. And then I watched as Rollin marched up to Jates with their crate of potatoes, and she held out a single letter. I watched as Jates's own cheeks turned pink, their lips drawn into a thin line of uncertainty, then bemusement, as Rollin handed over the letter. I watched the two of them exchange tense nods and saw Rollin's high-lifted chin as she strode purposefully away from the docks, her hands clenched into proud fists. I saw, too, the way Jates trembled, still blushing and holding the letter, watching Rollin walk away. Jeets silently struggled with whether to call after Rollin or carry on with their cargo, or stop and read the letter right then and there. Ultimately, they chose the latter option, and the emotions I saw dance across their face made it very plain to me. That night, when Coriander and I sat down to supper, I told him what I had seen, and together we came up with a plan. The very next day, we sent out a grand invitation to all the Audrans, inviting them all to Swiftwell's Respite in the Honeysmoke Mountains, a place small enough to be private and large enough for all of our couriers in one place to all be there at one time. When they arrived, we held a fantastical banquet and a dance with music and masks and fancy dress and so much silliness that we could have all burst from laughing long into the night. Just as I had been longing to have a moment of peace and romance with Coriander, so too were our couriers yearning to make connections with one another, some as friends, and some as more than friends. There was so much joy and merriment that we absolutely could not help ourselves, and we just had to throw the same party again the same time next year. And the year after that. And the year after that. And that was the beginning of Audrin Prom.
And that is a story by the fireside. Well told, my dear. Very well told indeed.
Why, Coriander, I didn't hear you come out.
Oh, that's all right, my love. I'd like to hear you tell it this time round.
Did I leave anything out?
Oh, now let me see. Let me think. Let me scratch my noodle and think about that for a little bit. Actually, yes, I believe you did.
Did I? Which part?
You left out the part where you looked absolutely gorgeous in your gown. And you stole my heart away from the rest of the world to hold it all your own.
Oh.
And also the part where we danced the night away like two young lovebirds under a moonlit sky.
Well, we were young lovebirds then. Young, at least.
Yes, I suppose we were. But you stayed just the same all this while. Smart, capable, generous to a fault. And always aware and considerate of the tenderness of others. You know, I think I should tell you a very personal secret, my dear. Come close.
Oh.
Nice close.
All right.
Right here. I do love you something fierce.
I do love you too, dear.
Some of you look as though you've had enough of this romantic lovey-dovey stuff for now. Though I wouldn't be too surprised if you added a romantic feather to your own cap at your next Audrin prom. But I digress for now. What shall we say our next story shall be? Let me see.